Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Go subscribe there and snag your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. Great little study guide, absolutely free, no cost to you, simply just an email to get notifications when we've got new podcasts and new content available there. So again, go to reallifepharmacology.com and snag that free resource right there. All right, so let's talk about the drug of the day today, and that is going to be colchicine. Brand name of this medication is Colchris. That's the most common brand name that I hear in clinical practice anyway. And this medication does have a bunch of unique uses. However, 99% of the time, the indication that I see this medication used for is gout. That is mostly what I'm going to focus on. There's things like Mediterranean fever. There has been potentially some evidence in reducing cardiovascular risk as a secondary prevention type agent. I can't say at the time I'm creating this podcast that I'm, you know, real sold on the evidence and the risk versus benefit of doing that, but that may be a something that you see more evidence on going forward in the future. But again, I'm going to focus mainly on that gout indication. So mechanistically, how does it work? It blocks beta-tubulin polymerization into microtubules, which ultimately reduces the activation or activity of neutrophils. Okay, and in gout, remember, inflammation plays a huge role in the pain associated with a gout flare. Neutrophils are really going to facilitate and exacerbate that inflammation and pain. So again, by kind of reducing that activation, activity of those neutrophils, we can help manage symptoms of a gout flare. All right, thinking about kind of guidelines and what we use for therapy, particularly with gout flares, colchicine is an option here. However, in clinical practice, I would say I see steroids, corticosteroids, and NSAIDs generally used more commonly, or at least tried first. And there might be some exceptions to that. So, you know, if you've got a patient with a significant GI bleed history, that's probably a situation where you might avoid an NSAID and prefer colchicine. Corticosteroids, so if you've got a patient, let's say, that's having frequent flares and we're having to give corticosteroids a lot, then we start to get into the risk of some of the long-term complications with corticosteroid use. So again, in a patient with frequent gout flares, maybe corticosteroids, giving them often, isn't really a great option, with, you know, some of the risks for osteoporosis and hyperglycemia, and then, of course, HPA suppression and things like that. So colchicine is a potential option for gout flares, for sure. And then occasionally you will see it used for gout kind of prophylaxis and prevention as well. But I would say that's probably less common. It is important to think about the adverse effect profile too. So I mentioned, you know, NSAIDs, if somebody's got a GI bleed, we'd avoid that. You know, frequent use, corticosteroid, and that adverse effect profile, there may be reasons we'd avoid steroids. Colchicine's biggest I guess, adverse effect to be concerned about, a most common adverse effect is diarrhea and GI upset. Diarrhea is by far the predominant adverse effect that you're going to see. So it's really, really important to pay attention to that. I know I've seen plenty of examples of the prescribing cascade based upon colchicine and its adverse effect profile. So prescribing cascade, that's where we give one drug and we've got to manage side effects of that drug with another medication. So keeping an eye out for drugs like loperamide or Lamotil, where we're trying to manage diarrhea symptoms, take a look at that med list and make sure they're not taking colchicine there, for example. Other possible complications, myopathy is a potential adverse effect, so muscle pain and that type of thing. Again, not very common, not something I've seen in practice on a regular basis at all, but it is something to think about. Reduced B12 absorption, potentially with supplements and things like that. And I'll maybe mention that in drug interactions too, but that's something to think about. And then there are some rare, obviously, adverse effects like there are with most drugs. Hematologic issues, pancytopenia, low platelets, anemia, leukopenia. So again, just things that, you know, if it creeps up where, you know, labs are off or whatever the case may be, you know, colchicine may be one of those medications that we take a peek and rule out and make sure that a recent addition of colchicine hasn't caused any of those, again, very, very rare issues there. All right, so let's talk about metabolism and elimination a little bit, because this is important. So colchicine is significantly metabolized by CYP3A4. So we know drug interactions are going to come into play. And I'll talk a little bit about that after the break. But we also got to remember that, you know, if we've got pharmacogenetic variations, certain patients, ones that, you know, don't have, a high normal functioning CYP3A4 enzyme, those patients may be at greater risk for adverse effects from colchicine. Okay. Renal elimination, so it is renally eliminated or partly dependent upon that as well. So patients with rising creatinine or falling GFR, however you want to say it or however you know it by, those patients could have an accumulation of colchicine. And in the patient population I deal with, the elderly, that's probably where you're most likely to see that risk. If we're using higher doses and that kidney function declines over time, those dosages could potentially lead to various toxicities. All right, so let's take a quick break and then we'll dive a little deeper into drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like medication therapy management, pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care, psychiatric exam, geriatrics exam, go check out meded101.com/store. Got links to all sorts of different resources there. If you'd like to take advantage of clinical content, maybe you're not a pharmacist, again, links at meded101.com/store. We've got links to free Audible books. So if you try Audible for the first time, they will give you a book for free. And I've got an example, a free 10-hour book on drug interactions that you can absolutely have for free if you've never tried Audible before. So, and we got a lot of books on Amazon and things like that as well. So again, go check out all those links, support our sponsor, help support this podcast at meded101.com/store. All right, so let's finish up with drug interactions. The two biggest, most important things to remember, I think, with drug interactions are CYP3A4. So that's, in my book, that's probably going to be number one. Drugs like erythromycin, diltiazem, verapamil, clarithromycin, some of the azole antifungals, grapefruit juice, all those drugs can potentially raise the concentrations of colchicine and lead to increased risk of toxicity. We also have a dependence on P-glycoprotein, ABCB1 inhibitors, so drugs like amiodarone, carvedilol, azithromycin, erythromycin, verapamil. All those drugs fall in that category. And again, these are just some of the most common medications that you're potentially going to see in practice. This isn't an exhaustive list. So keep that in mind. If, you know, maybe we've had a bunch of medication changes and now patients, you know, displaying new symptoms of, let's say, diarrhea or stomach upset, it could be the new medications you added, but it also could be drug interactions that are leading to higher concentrations of another medication, and obviously in this case, colchicine. Okay, so really pay attention, because colchicine does maybe have a few more drug interactions than most medications do. And then the last drug interaction I wanted to mention, it's not crazy high on my list of things to watch out for, but if you ever have a patient that has myopathy symptoms, statins and fibrates in combination with colchicine could potentially increase that risk for myopathy. So kind of one last one to think about there. Again, not an all-inclusive list on drug interactions and things like that, but certainly something to keep in mind there as well. And then lastly, I did want to mention that there is potential, there has been reports that colchicine can potentially reduce the absorption of certain vitamins and things like that. So cyanocobalamin or B12 supplementation may be at kind of highest risk of having lower levels absorbed. So, you know, in a patient on colchicine and maybe we're displaying some signs of B12 deficiency or something, that definitely might be something to keep in the back of your mind to monitor and look out for. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for today. If you enjoyed the podcast, found it helpful, leave a rating review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. No-brainer to go subscribe at reallifepharmacology.com. Get your free 31-page PDF on the top 200 drugs. It's going to be a great little refresher for you and or if you're a student, potentially help you with board exams and things like that. So go snag that. And, of course, go support our sponsor, meded101.com/store. Find all the links to Audible books and Amazon books, as well as study materials for pharmacists and things like that. So I'm going to sign off for today. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a good rest of your day.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.